You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And we're back. You're listening to Midday Mobile. I'm Cam Marston. Sean Sullivan is unaccounted for, and we're filling in for him. We got three of us in the studio running the show today. It doesn't mean we're as good as Sean. It means we're three times as good as Sean with the three of us here. Jason Hillier, Rob Hinkle, and our next guest is on the line. Before we do, let us know your thoughts. Give us some feedback. Give us your Christmas recap. Give us a call. Give us a text. 343-0106. Without a doubt, the reason for the season is, reason for the season is the Christian season, I guess. That's a poor way to say it. In fact, that's why we got the guy on the line. This is John Riggin. John is the reverend at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. Reverend John Riggin. John, thanks so much.
Hey, Cam, thank you. Merry day after Christmas.
Merry day after Christmas you as well.
And thank you for having me.
John, one of my favorite quotes of all time, is what you call the 3 p.m. service at St. Paul's with this full of kids. It was referred to me one time by you as holy commotion, and that's exactly what it is. It is holy commotion. It's a wonderful service, though.
It is. I like to say it's maybe more like, you know, we've got this a certain kind of greeting card company image of Christmas, and they make some great Christmas cards and some great movies, and everything's perfect, but the manger and the stable weren't so perfect, and they were chaotic, I think, at some moments, as it would be if you were having a baby in a tent or something. And there's a certain, I don't know, positive, youthful energy in that service, but it is not your twilight, silent night sort of mysterious, far away experience. It is right there on top of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, John, this is Jason. How are you doing?
Hey, Jason.
I know you're talking about the children's service, and you always have the children up front, and usually they make a comment or a question that's entertaining. Did you have any good ones this year?
I can't remember some of the questions. I do remember, you know, the service moves along pretty quickly. We go in, we sing some hymns, and we read the lessons, and I was in the middle of saying something, and, you know, there's like 150 kids up there, more, actually, and they're all full of candy canes and sugars, and they're bumping up and popping up and down, and he held up this, I was in the middle of saying something, I'm sure it was really profound, and he holds up this picture, and it looks like a rudimentary building. And I said, "Is that the stable?" And he said, "No, it's my house." So, that's what I remember that. And I can't remember too many questions. We have a St. Nick Sunday on December the 6th, which is the feast day of St. Nicholas, and Sunday after the 6th. And Santa Claus comes, and they ask a lot of Santa Claus type questions then. But it was, they were mostly listening this year. I do always ask them what's the gift this year? What's the big gift that you want? And sometimes little girls have one answer, and sometimes little boys have another answer. And, you know, those change year to year. And sometimes I don't even know what they're talking about when they give me the name of the gift. But, you know, their excitement, sort of joyful expectation. I know that expectation is about something material that they're going to get, but it's a hopeful expectation that I really think echoes and evokes this deeper sort of hope and expectation that we all have, and we sort of remember in ourselves from the first gift of Christmas, which I think is part of our DNA.
Any memories this year stand out this year, John, of the Christmas season from you or your parishioners, something you saw, something you were a part of?
Well, I think, as I said, that's one of the things that struck me this year, is that while the toys change, the basic heart of the season stays the same. The other thing that, a couple of things were on my mind this year, and one, really was this idea of a perfect Christmas. And it is wonderful that the season calls out of us this great desire to give, which is a response of the first Christmas, the greatest gift. We confess, we say as Christians, the greatest gift ever given. But I think in our minds we want to make this perfect experience, like you have to capture this thing and hold it because it's going to get away from you. And I really think the irony of that is that the first Christmas was nothing like that. That this gift came into the most rudimentary place, to the most humble people, and the first witnesses of that were some of the maybe honestly least respected people in society. That God is saying in Christmas, you know, I love you as you are. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to make it perfect. I enter into those places because I am always with you, which is what we think about when we say Emmanuel. And so I think that puts a lot of pressure on folks. And I think that's not what it's intended to do.
John, this is Rob, and after just listening to you talk to some of these questions, I'm almost embarrassed to ask this question, but I had brought up earlier in the show that I had found it very difficult this year to get into the spirit of the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was for you. I would imagine Christmas and probably Easter to you is almost like hurricane season to a meteorologist. But do you ever...
today, we had a little service today, and ironically also it's the feast day of St. Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church. So it's kind of like the Christian church. You go from the pinnacle down, come right back down the mountain, and kaboom. But it feels like in the church a little bit like full of joy and appreciation and gratitude, you know, but it's like the day after having a baby. And I've had three children. I mean, I hadn't had them myself. My wife had the children, but I was along for the whole experience, including in the birthing room. And you know, if you've experienced that, there are two of you in there, particularly with your first child, there are two of you in there and the people that are attendant. And then all of a sudden there's three. And it comes out of nowhere, and every birth is a miracle, and it's you and your spouse that's represented in that new life. You know, it represents the regenerative power of God, but then you go, wow, am I tired? And, you know, we have three services between 3 p.m. and midnight on Christmas Eve, and we have a service on Christmas morning. We have three services today, and you love that, and it is a joy to serve and worship and pray with others. But you know, you do get tired, and there can be a letdown, like there can be after having a baby, mm-hmm. if you will.
Coming off a mountaintop experience, kind of, you got to come back down into the valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really think part of that, without getting too serious or starting into preaching or anything, I think part of that is that we have things have, you know, the culture moves on a track, and culture reflects many of the gifts of God. You know, our legal system wants to work towards rehabilitation and mercy, and you know, our society and our voting reflects that every person votes counts equally. Those are from the ethos of Jesus. I mean, the work of Jesus is going on in our culture all the time, even whether it's recognized.
John, I got to interrupt you. We got a minute to go, and I want to ask you to plant a seed for us and our listeners for 2019. Something to keep in mind.
Well, Cam, I think I was telling the congregation today this gift of love that we got at Christmas. It is like getting married. You know, somebody loves you that much, and when we start that, we feel it feels good to be loved like that. It feels really good. But a lot of that love can be instinctively about ourselves, and then eventually, when you're married to somebody long enough, you're going to wake up and they're going to have bad breath. You're going to realize you're married to a human being, and you hope that there's a breakthrough, the church hopes that there's a breakthrough to deeper love, what we call agape love. And if getting love feels good, if that feels good, the best gift, at least the Christian vision, is giving love feels even better. And so it's really a time after Christmas to start thinking about, how do I respond to this great love that I've been given? And that's how we hold on to joy. And doing that out of a sense of joyful gratitude versus, you know, I got to make myself perfect and please God.
So a focus going forward of giving the love, not just receiving the
love. That I just got, yeah. And that's how, of course, in the Christian worldview, it's by giving it away that love grows in us. And that's the difference between a consumer-oriented Christmas, getting this, taking us back to this first gift that we're accepted and loved as we are.
All right.
And if we can return that, absorb that, process it, and return it, start to return it in the world, Christmas is going to stay with you.
Perfect, John. Perfect way to end. I appreciate your time. Thanks very much. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you, John.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're back. This is Cam Marston. I'm with Jason Hillier and Rob Hinkle as Sean is away doing something we're not exactly clear about. We're coming up on our next caller, and this one really has piqued my interest for quite a while. Carly Waters is the owner of Illume Health and Wellness. She's a certified integrative health coach and yoga instructor. Carly, thanks for your time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cam.
Carly, there's so much information about diets and fads and trends and what we're eating enough of or too much of or too little of, whatever it may be. I'm curious, as you look out towards next year, what are the dieting fads that are coming up that people are going to want to latch on to?
I think the keto diet will continue, where it's high fat, low carbs. I think that's going pretty strong and will stick around for a while. Intermittent fasting, where you're eating within a certain window of time during the day, I think that's really something people are looking into and will be around for the next year as well.
So it's I have a question, and this is a bit of an odd question. Do you find people that get into diets and commit to diets like to talk about their diets a lot? I mean, a lot. These people want to talk more and more about their newest diet that's changing their life. Do you experience this type of thing?
Yes, I do. I do. People get very excited, especially when they're having positive results.
And you, how do you maintain a positive attitude to hearing about so many people's diets for so much time?
Well, I mean, if it's working for somebody, you know, that's very positive. And you want to encourage them to keep it up. If they're feeling good and it's keeping them on the right track, you know, just give them encouraging words and support.
Hey, Carly, this is Jason.
Hey, Jason.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I know we hear a lot about what we're not supposed to eat. What are most people missing from their diet that they're not eating?
I would say healthy fat. I think people are scared of the word fat. If they eat fat, they're going to get fat. But healthy fats that come from olive oil, avocados, avocado oil, coconut oil, even like your grass-fed butters and ghee, nuts and seeds, they're so important to help us have energy, to burn fat. They give us brain power. And I think people are just scared of fat. They don't include enough of that in their diet, and that also leaves them hungry. So I think that people really need to think about incorporating more healthy fats into their diet.
Hey, Carly, this is Rob. How are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Good. I don't know if you've talked to Tina recently, but she is all in with some of exactly what you're talking about. We're putting, is it MTC oil or MCT oil in our coffee every morning? We're taking probiotics and omega-3s before we go to bed, the whole family. She's listening to podcasts. Actually, I got her big Christmas present this year was a Juve Red Infrared Light Therapy panel. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Is there a trend, or not? Maybe it's not a trend. Is there a revelation or revolution going on with fitness and nutrition right now that could possibly help this country in some of our healthcare challenges, do you think?
I mean, I think yes, and people are just more aware. You know, we're sicker than we've ever been. Healthcare costs are, you know, out the roof, and people want to live a long time, and while they're living, be healthy instead of tired, you know, and feeling bad all the time. So I think it's, you know, a very good trend. People are, you know, doing all kinds of things to be healthier, feel better. And yes, I definitely think so.
Carly, I saw a post online. I think you were affiliated with it in some way, but it's called the 30-Day Challenge. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah.
The 30-Day Challenge, folks, reads, no chips, no potatoes, no ice cream, no fast food, no fried food, no chocolate, and no soda. The only thing it doesn't list is no sunlight and no oxygen. What is the purpose? I mean, at some point, the punishing aspects of diet, you've got to say, hey, isn't there supposed to be a little bit of joy in what I eat and having a good time with, you know, trying new things? This sounds like is it possible, I guess, that people go overboard on their diet and try to overcorrect?
Absolutely. I think that some people go on these strict diets and, you know, you end up failing because diets usually don't work. You know, for some people, they're so addicted to processed foods and sugars. And so it's a way of just like doing a little challenge like that, just to get people to start becoming more aware of what they're putting in their body. And most people won't stick to something like that. It's just more about creating awareness. And because people just will eat cookies and chips and sodas and things, and they're not even realizing how much they're actually eating of that junk food. And processed food is so bad for us. But, you know, trying to follow some really strict diet never really works. I try to teach my clients just to incorporate a healthy lifestyle. 80% of the time, do the best you can, eat the cleanest you can, and the other 20%, enjoy your life. You know, go out with your friends, have a drink, have some dessert, whatever it is that, you know, you like. But it's, you know, 80% of the time, try to be really good.
I had a guy tell me not long ago that he was trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. He's a triathlete and an elite triathlete at that. And he couldn't lose weight, and he didn't know what to do. And he talked to somebody who told him he wasn't eating enough. Mm-hmm. He said his body had shut down, metabolism, whatever it is, all these big multisyllabic words, had shut down, and it wouldn't allow him to lose weight because he was trying to starve himself at the same time putting out high calories with workouts, trying to change mm-hmm. his metabolism. And I said, so wait a minute. You can't lose weight because you're not eating enough. It sounds absolutely disproportionate to the way things work. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard of this, yeah. Some people, you know, stick to these low-calorie diets, which are not good for us. If you're eating quality, whole foods, you can eat as many vegetables and fruits as you need to in a day. And if the calories are so good for you, it's nutrition, it's fuel for your body. You need that. You don't want calories from junk food, processed food, of course. But if you're eating, you know, a big plate of vegetables, the calories are not, you know, important there. You need the fuel, you know, the nutrients from the vegetables and the fruits.
So going forward, what are your goals for 2019? Does someone like you, who knows so much, set goals for yourself for health and fitness and wellness?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, because things are always changing. We're learning new things. But my goal mostly is to try to stay away from processed foods because they make me feel horrible. They cause inflammation, which is the root of most diseases. So I just try to, you know, stay away from anything processed. And eat more vegetables is really my goal this year. I want to learn to cook vegetables in new ways and try new vegetables that I've never eaten before.
Hey, Carly, this is Rob. I was watching 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, and the attorney that basically broke the back of the tobacco industry is now targeting the opioid industry. And then I also recently just started reading Genius Foods, one of my wife's books, sitting on her bedside table.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is sugar? Because as I'm reading about how bad sugar is in this particular book, it seems like that could be the next class action lawsuit against the sugar industry for what it's done to our country, our children. you know, Alzheimer's, diabetes, the whole nine yards. How bad is sugar, in your opinion?
We got 1 minute, Carly.
I think it's terrible. I think it's in all the foods, everywhere you look. It's, you read labels, added sugar, added sugar. It's caused Americans to be obese, diabetic, like you said, dementia, Alzheimer's. We are inflamed and unhealthy, and it is because of sugar. And, you know, I try to make people aware of how much sugar they're really getting in their bodies, because it's just leading to so many health problems down the road that if we can just cut it back now and just learn to have, like, those little indulgences every once in a while, that's okay. But the sodas, the cookies, you know, the processed food, we've got to learn to push that aside and eat healthier.
Carly, real quick, how can people find you?
IllumeHealthAndWellness.com.
IllumeHealthAndWellness.com. Thanks, Carly. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Cam. You'll have a great day and Happy New Year.
You too.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, I'm Cam Marston. I've got Jason Hillier and Rob Hinkle with me as we're taking over for Sean this week, or not this week, today. And on the line is somebody I've been eager to hear her stories. I know this woman, and she's a great storyteller. Dr. Melissa Costello is an emergency physician. Melissa, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, Cam. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas back to you. There's got to be people coming through emergency room doors in the holiday season having injuries, wounds, problems that are unique to the Christmas season. What are you guys seeing in emergency rooms this time of year that are unique to the Christmas season?
Well, I think for us, really, Christmas, in quotations, starts at Thanksgiving. You know, unlike the stores where it now seems to start at Halloween, we really start at Thanksgiving. We begin to see the effects of the upcoming Christmas, really Thanksgiving Day and the day after, when people start climbing on the roofs and hanging Christmas lights and doing things like that. You know, we always have the typical media-covered Black Friday injuries. Fortunately, we've been pretty lucky with those this last couple of years, and locally at least. But we see some of that beginning at Thanksgiving. As far as Christmas, we really have, you know, we start usually Christmas late 23rd, early 24th, depending on people's traditions, but we'll see box cutter injuries are sort of a staple. Everybody getting into boxes and packages. I joke all the time that the 26th being Boxing Day is sort of the unboxing day. It's the day before for everyone in the United States. We'll see a lot of just little minor things. You know, the poor, a lot of the dads, but you know, poor dads and moms who are constructing dollhouses and, you know, different pieces of sports equipment and bikes and things at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning have, you know, usually a little bit of alcohol involved and have some mishaps with power tools and things like that that will meander into our department. So that's usually where we start. That's the staple of the interesting Christmas injuries.
So you're it sounds like you're stitching up a lot of people around Christmas time as a result of them constructing something like that.
Yes, we can definitely put our suture techs and our medical students to good work showing up people's injuries.
That's kind of funny. What stories or incidents, you hear these things come out from time to time of crazy stories about people stepping into the emergency room with these wounds or something. Got any tales to share?
Just a few. Like my classic Christmas story is the morning. I had decided, I was the leader in my department at the time, and one of my colleagues was scheduled for Christmas morning, and he had very young children at home, and I, you know, sort of didn't realize I had scheduled him for, you know, the early morning shift, and knew that with a 5-6-year-old that it was important for him to be home for the Christmas morning bright-eyed Santa Claus moment with his kids, because we know those are don't last. So I assured him that my children would not have a palpable pulse or blood pressure before 11 in the morning, because I have a bunch of teenagers. So I came in and covered for him for the first few hours, just as my Christmas gift to him and his family. And my first three patients of that morning in the room, they were in sequential rooms, 2, 3, and 4 in our ER particularly. was a Jesus, a Marie, and a Joseph.
That's
my
funny.
First three patients, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I kind of wondered if they might have had something else to do that morning besides me and the ER.
That's very funny. Did you bring this to their attention? Did they get the joke?
I thought the nurses were messing with me, actually.
Oh, but, yeah?
You know, we can't really tell other patients about what's in the other rooms. There's a lot of privacy rules and things like that, so I couldn't really bring it to their attention. But it did make for a lot of entertainment and good chuckles and a little bit of introspection on the part of the staff as to how that actually happened. So, but yeah, we have all sorts of different unique stories. A friend of mine had a great respiratory distress story, a patient who had trouble breathing because he'd been hiding in his chimney waiting for his kids to get up, and decided he was going to stand up and inhaled a bunch of ash and spit out of his chimney and came in basically having a lot of difficulty breathing. He had no business standing in his chimney. God knows what he inhaled. But, you know, little kids get into trouble. Both, you know, people and dogs tend to swallow Christmas lights and, you know, all those things. So it is definitely interesting. You know, the staff, we have our own stories, and we try and make it as Christmassy as we can, even though the whole staff's at work on Christmas Day. You know, that's the thing I think to remember about the ER is that, you know, every ER in the city, every ER in the country has got a full staff of people there on Christmas Eve and on Christmas morning and all of those holidays. And it's you know, we try and make it as Christmassy as we can, even though we're hanging up, you know, tongue depressors that we color with markers and things like that. So,
Dr. Costello, this is Jason. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Good. Merry Christmas. I wonder, I would imagine you have a lot of falls off of children's toys by parents. Is that a common occurrence?
Yes. We have had so many, especially in the last 2 years or 3 years of the hoverboard. That has been, I think, probably the biggest boon for orthopedic surgery in the world, is parents who think they can get on hoverboard. That trampolines are always a nice, reliable source of good orthopedic injuries. Then, you know, you'll get different pieces of, like I said, sports equipment, and a lot of parents who think that they can still do what they did in their heyday, you know, say, oh, yeah, no problem. I can throw a backflip. I did it when I was a 17-year-old cheerleader. Well, you're not anymore. So, children's toys are always fantastic for that kind of stuff, and parents are very reticent to don all of the safety gear that we make our kids wear these days. You know, we rode bikes without helmets, so we'll be fine. You know, no, put a helmet on.
Dr. Costello, this is Rob. I was out running around with family, visiting family Saturday night, and there was a huge, huge, beautiful full moon coming up around 6-7 p.m. I think that the lunar activity influences ERs as well, and I'm just curious if on top of Christmas this Saturday night and a full moon, was that kind of a double whammy, and is there any truth to the moon's impact on ER visits?
Well, believe it or not, people have actually studied this, because there is enough of a myth around the full moon bringing out, you know, sort of quote-unquote the crazies and all the weird stuff. There really is actually no difference when the full moon is out, but everybody loves to believe it, and it's one of those sort of self-confirming biases about the full moon. However, you know, we really do see different and some variability during the Christmas season, full moon or not. There's a lot of visits for different things that, you know, would involve, at least in my department, you know, getting involved with some of our psychiatrists and things like that, because people get around family that they don't spend a lot of time around at the holidays. And I tell stories all the time about, you know, that if you have people that you don't like to spend time with 364 days out of the year, getting together with them on Christmas, particularly throwing alcohol into the mix, is really just like, why do you do that? There's never a good outcome. You know, we have lots of those types of issues that arise over the holidays as well. So,
Dr. Costello, we had a Sergeant Jeff Island on a little while ago, and it'd be interesting. He didn't exactly say it was okay to shoot people in the foot. He didn't say that. But he did say if someone's stealing gifts off front porches, as we see in social media a lot these days, that he would take care of it himself, which, in my opinion, means he's shooting people in the foot. So, as an emergency room doctor, when people come in with the holes in their foot, do you look at them and say you were stealing gifts off of people's front porch?
No, it is certainly one of those things that we question. Many of our gunshot wounds to the foot tend to be self-inflicted. They largely are people trying to tuck firearms in places that they're not intended to be tucked in, or doing things with firearms that are ill-advised, like trying to clean firearms without clearing them appropriately, and doing things that any kid who's done Eddie Eagle or any other program would know is horribly unsafe, but adults seem to forget that. So,
is there anything, Dr. Costello, unique to our region of the country down here that you see in the emergency room that if we lived up in the Northeast somewhere we may not see?
I think that the things that are unique for us, as a leader, I've tracked volume, you know, hour to hour. I look and see a check in by hour, check in by, you know, day, and look. The things that I find are so interesting is, at least in ERs, volumes tend to be fairly low. We lose about 20 to 25% of our volume on holidays. And then that volume comes back. The demand never really goes away. It just shifts from one day to the next. And so today will be a very busy day for those people who are unfortunate enough to be working in the ER, or unfortunate enough to have to be seen in the ER. Today is going to be busy, so be patient if you have to go. The other things that are unique to our area is, if you really need to go to the emergency room and don't want to wait, you should go about half an hour after kickoff of either an Alabama or an Auburn home game. Because the ED is a ghost town. We can see really significant drop-offs in volume in the first hour of college football games that are home team games. It's actually true of many, many college cities and states with big followings, is that we see drop-offs in volumes like that.
So the injuries are still happening. People are just saying, I need to go to the emergency room, but I'm going to wait till the game is over.
Yeah, I had a patient who came in, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 hours after he started developing chest pain and having a horrible heart attack. This was many years ago. And I said, if you've had pain this bad, where have you been? He said, well, I had to watch the Alabama and the Auburn games. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a passion. Isn't it crazy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you see these people come in, you mentioned the box cutter, Boxing Day box cutter, I get the irony, great. Do you look at it and you just shake your head? You don't even ask questions anymore. You say, all right, bring me your hand, bring me your leg, I'm going to stick it up or stitch you up. It's a box cutter injury. I know exactly what's going to happen here.
Some of that. I think some of it, I've been doing this, almost 20 years now, and so some of it gets a little routine, and some of them, we'll joke all the time with a lot of our, especially our little old patients who fall down and things like that, that, you're bruised and banged up, but we got to come up with a better story than you cut yourself with a box cutter. So the suturing is actually nice for us because it's an opportunity to really sit down and have a conversation, which often we're pressured enough for time that we don't have time to do. So we get a chance to get to know people a little bit better if it takes us 10 or 15 minutes to sew up a hand or whatever. So I'm always sort of trying to entertain at least a little bit, since a lot of times in the ED, most of our patients in the ER are having one of the worst days of their life.
Yeah.
For me, it's the day I go to work. But, most people don't plan to go to the emergency room in the morning. And so we really do try and make it as pleasant and quick an experience as it possibly can be.
Thank you, Dr. Costello. I appreciate your time. I know that if I get hurt, I'm going to just wait till the kickoff to come see you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Dr. Melissa Costello, folks, we'll be right back after the break for our final segment.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, final segment. I'm Cam Marston. I'm with Jason Hillier and Rob Hinkle, and we're going to close down the 2018 Christmas review with a dialogue with the three of us here real quick to talk about our predictions for 2019, what we see for ourselves, maybe for the country, as well as some New Year's resolutions. The three of us see each other fairly frequently. It'd be nice to hear what you have in mind going forward. Jason, we'll start with you. Give me a big prediction for 2019 and then a personal commitment.
Well, my personal commitment has changed since we've been here at the show. After talking to Carly Waters, I've decided I'm going to give up on sugar. It sounds like it's bad for me.
Yeah, I think we can all safely say that. Now, you're going to give up on sugar, and that means high-gravity beers too, huh?
Yes. Definitely. Yeah. No more high-gravity beers.
I'm seeing a liar sitting right next to me. Bold-faced liar. All right. So how about a prediction outside of yourself, but for the nation, the world, something for 2019?
I think we're going to have a wall.
We're going to have a wall?
Yeah, that's my prediction.
So the Congress is going to find the money, and we're going to get a wall. Yes. We could know that within the next hour, within the next day or two.
I think it's a matter of time.
Okay, that's good. A wall. Rob, over to you.
You know, he stole mine, but I had it before I came in here. Not necessarily giving up on sugar, but eating cleaner. I work out. I mean, I work out with, you, Cam. I don't work out with Jason. He doesn't work out with us. But very regularly, and I swore this year I was not going to cross the 180-pound line, which is my line in the sand that tells me I've got to lose weight. And Sunday afternoon, I had a pie delivered to my house that was still hot when it got delivered. And when I weighed Monday, I'd broken that 180 mark. So it's not working out. It's what you eat. It's what you put in your mouth. I got to eat cleaner, reduce sugars significantly, and, less high-gravity beers. I'm not going to give up on them 100%, but less high-gravity beers.
Two liars, surrounded by two liars in the room. That's great. Consistency here. How about a big prediction for 2019?
God, I don't know. I'm still just trying to take it a day at a time to look into next year. I don't have a big prediction for next year. I really don't. Sorry. Yeah. Can't disappoint.
Yeah. Well, I'll get in mine. I'm going to recommit to making sure people understand that the Eagles are a bad band. I'm trying to spread the word on that. That's bad music. So it's a commitment I've made, and I know the two of you are diametrically opposed to this, but it's important that people realize it. Fleetwood Mac and Cargo Pants are also in that. It's kind of a personal mission to make sure people realize this.
You know, you said Eagles, and I thought football, and I'm thinking Saints for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And number 18 for Bama. Those would be my two predictions for 2019.
I think the Saints Super Bowl prediction would be wonderful, but they have not been playing saintly lately.
That's true.
And pretty ugly.
This is true.
I'm not sure what's happened, but it hadn't been very good.
That Alabama prediction is not really going out on a limb, though, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I'm also predicting that Trump resigns.
Really?
Yeah, I predict that he resigns. I think he's had enough of the nitpicking. I think the Mueller probe continues to get closer. It's going to start touching on his family, and I think he raises his hand and said, I'm out of here, I'm done. And I predict that he resigns. Now, I don't predict he resigns till the summertime. But I think that's that one of the things his historian, or his biographers rather, have said that tends to be his thing. When he gets tight, he resigns and claims victory, or he backs out or declares bankruptcy or something like that and claims victory. I'm also, and this is something that you guys may not be familiar with, but we do spend a good bit of time with each other, continue to refine my ability to curse well. It's not to eliminate it, it's to refine it. And I'm really anxious to refine my ability to say the right word at the right time for the greatest impact. So continue to make sure people realize the Eagles aren't good music. Fleetwood Mac, Cargo Pants are a sin against humanity, and a slow refining of my ability to say the right word at the right time for the greatest amount of impact.
Cam, I was hoping that your New Year's resolution was going to be sleep outside once a month.
No, that's my wife's hope for me, but that's not my New Year's resolution. No, there's only a strange folks. We all know somebody that has this strange commitment to sleep outside once a month, and no, I sleep with the window open. I call that camping.
That's close enough.
It's close enough for me. Yeah, yeah. So, anything else? I thought the sugar comment was, you know, we all reflected on that. And Carly Waters' sugar comment on sugar. I'm not going to change anything on my diet. I am going to eat less. I'm always saying that, though. And I choose not to step on scales because I think it's an artificial measurement.
I was glad she did not throw stones at crystals.
Yeah, crystals remains a part of your lifestyle.
It is. It's a big part.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, maybe we should close out more on John Riggins' message, too. Love a little more next year.
Give it away. Don't look for it all.
Yeah.
Give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, My show, my regular show, What's Working with Cam Marston, will be on this station tonight at 6 p.m. We'll have the chief nursing officer for University of South Alabama Health Systems, and nursing has changed. If you want to hear more about that, tune in tonight here at 6 p.m. For Rob and Jason, this is Cam Marston signing off. Have a good year, everybody.
Happy New Year.